We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. We are live here at Smoke on the Water. Before we go to the phone lines, don't forget, you can give us a follow on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, me at Sturgis Sports, at Diesel on Radio, of course, ESPNUpstate.com. And if you want to take us with you on the road, just go download the radio.com app, look up ESPN Upstate, and we can go wherever you do as well. Stan waited through the break talking about what Hawaii pulled, if it was a prank or if it was dirty deeds or whatever. But, Stan, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Doing good, guys. How are you?
It's a good day, man.
Was just wondering, did the fella in the jersey, did he actually play under a false jersey?
He never went out for the game. He did not come out dressed in the number 13 jersey. Just a guy was dressed in that jersey during warm-ups as number 13.
Done playing time, I think the NCAA might have an issue with it. But being that it was just warm-ups and maybe meant to psych somebody out, it kind of reminds me of a move that from the old Coach show. So I kind of can't help but like it.
Wait a second. Which one? Was that when Dauber did not intentionally leave his playbook before the Cactus Bowl, but that's the way they kind of portrayed it to be, and sat down at, like, Denny's and redid the entire offense on a napkin overnight?
Yeah, pretty much. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love Coach, man. That was one of the best sitcoms out there. But, again, I've heard of a lot of cool things you're trying to avoid. In the NFL, you can't do it. You got to, call your injuries by Thursday. But college football coaches, they don't have to. All right, Stan, I appreciate the phone call. Hope you have a great afternoon. So what are some other pranks in college athletics that we've come across? All right, Diesel, when you think of catfish, what's the first thing that pops up?
Manti Te'o.
Exactly. Well, guess what? Manti Te'o was not the first victim. There was actually a pre-catfish, if you want to call it. There was a star USC point guard by the name of Lane Kakua. Now, hold on. Really? Lane Kakua? No, that was the one with Manti Te'o. I was just kidding. Gabe Pruitt, the Southern Cal star point guard, Gabe Pruitt, started receiving online messages and pictures from this UCLA co-ed by the name of Victoria. Now, Diesel, I don't know if you saw your Twitter feed today, and one of our interns from the past, Victoria, I guess she's up for Miss Talladega 500 or something. But you start getting pictures and messages from a comely co-ed at UCLA by the name of Victoria that said she wants to party with him after USC's season-ending game against California. What are you going to do?
Say, yeah.
Yeah, well, Dakota's over here going, hell yeah, baby, we're going to party. So Pruitt agreed and gave Victoria his phone number. There's just one problem. It turned out there was no Victoria. It was a group of Cal students posing as an attractive blonde in order to get into Pruitt's head before the game that weekend, in which they succeeded. When he goes up to the free throw line at the game that weekend, the Cal students started chanting in unison, Victoria, Victoria, and started yelling out Pruitt's phone number every time he went to the foul line. It was normally a 79% shooter, missed both free throws, and went 3-for-13 for the day from the field.
Now, Sturge, I don't expect that you've watched this show on Netflix, but there's now two seasons of a show called American Vandal. And in season two, they had a star athlete. It was a prestigious prep school that had a really great basketball program. We all know there's a handful of those all over the country, and their star player was catfished by someone in a very similar situation to what happened with Manti Te'o. So it's funny that it's now creeping into pop culture and into some of the TV shows. It basically is sort of an indictment on online dating and such that's going on right now.
I mean, why do I keep hearing the movie Napoleon Dynamite in my head when it comes to online
dating? LaFonda was real, though.
LaFonda was real. Wasn't exactly what he thought that she was going to be, but, you know, we talk online like 2-3 hours a day. I think it's getting pretty serious. You know, I just always have loved that. That's one of those movies that you might be able to watch on loop for a while.
Well,
so
one of my favorite pranks, Sturge, and this was not actually perpetrated by a university. This was perpetrated by another fan. It's common thought that it was either an App State or a Davidson fan trolled the UNC Charlotte athletic department staff and management as a former student named Grady Davis, who basically came in and emailed his support for the embattled athletic director and the embattled head football coach, Brad Lambert, who's, by the way, still there, and essentially showed enough support and said, you guys should really back this guy, that they ended up passing it around the entire athletics department staff. And many believe that it might be the reason why Brad Lambert, a pretty awful football coach, has got a contract extension.
All right. Well, how about this one? You want to talk about going old school, Diesel? This prank in college football goes back 102 years. That's a pretty one. Back in 1916, the University of Texas acquired its first live mascot, an orange-tinted Longhorn. That, of course, what did they go on to name that mascot? Diesel.
Bevo.
I know you're back there. Yeah, Bevo. All right. So four Texas A&M students, let's get back to it. They had to keep Bevo in the stockyard. Four Texas A&M students come along. They find Bevo there and decided to get out a branding iron 13-0. They put on Bevo's butt. That happened to be the score of the 1915 Texas A&M game. Now, there was a war going on. Due to the high cost of keeping the steers alive in wartime, Texas ended up barbecuing Bevo and serving him at a football banquet at A&M with A&M in 1920, where the Aggies were presented with the 13-0 hide. Now that's pretty good, both directions. You know what I mean. By the way, you know that cow y'all stole from us and Brandon. That's what y'all are eating for dinner.
You know, I wouldn't even really be mad at that. How could you be mad at that? You got a free steak dinner.
All right, can I get one more before we'll go to Delvin? All right, this one's pretty good. Do you know? Have you ever heard of a football team by the name of Caltech?
Yeah.
You sure? Because there's not one. Caltech doesn't have a football team, but that has not stopped the school from pulling off two of the greatest pranks in college football history. The first was forerunner to the Harvard-Yale prank. In 1961, Caltech students switched the University of Washington's instruction sheets before the Rose Bowl, which led to thousands of Husky fans holding up a massive Caltech sign for the national television audience. In 1984, Caltech students hacked into the Rose Bowl scoreboard to make it read Caltech 38, MIT 9. But basically, you know, the big flip cards that you used to do back in the day. And trust me, there's nobody better at doing that than the North Koreans. I was watching something on CNN last night. But, yeah, instead of the Washington Husky fans, like, putting up, you know, a W, it read out Caltech instead. Now, that's pretty good, and it ended up on national television. Let's go to the phone. Delvin wants to talk about pranks. Delvin, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
I think I saw this on TV one. It was featured on game day. I think it was Harvard Yale where they buried something underneath a football field or something. I think it was a balloon or something. And it exploded while the players were playing. I forgot.
I've got it right here. It was MIT. You know, what is the big rivalry in the Ivy League. It is Harvard-Yale. Yeah, so it's the 1983 Harvard-Yale game when all of a sudden, about the 30-yard line in the middle of the game, comes up this big black balloon with MIT spelled out on it. And, again, stopped the game, everything else. They had gone out there and dug that hole in the Yale football field like a week ahead of time. And, of course, it was a fraternity-driven prank. You got to give the Deacs credit for that. But, again, literally a game between Harvard and Yale while this big black MIT balloon came floating up out of the ground. That's next level, Delvin.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about what Mike Leach did. That was cool. Mike Leach did a couple 1999 with the play sheet. That was funny. I thought that was funny. Hilarious.
Oh, now
that
if you're he was able to pull it off though.
That was, for the first the first half of the game. So he was able to pull that off. That was just sneaky. And Pete Carroll used to do it on USC all the time with his own team. Like do practice just with his team all the time.
Yep. Well, listen, if you can't laugh, you can't laugh at somebody else. And thanks for the phone call, Delvin. We'll talk to you tomorrow. But what Delvin is alluding to that didn't even start this, it was based off Hawaii. But, you know, Mike Leach admitted in a press conference last week that his final game as offensive coordinator at the University of Oklahoma, he came up with this script for the offense and went out there and left it in the on the field during warmups and sat there and waited until a couple of University of Texas, like student, you know, coaches come by and find it. And they think it's the real deal. And Texas was down 17-0 before they realized everything they had in their hands was complete and total garbage. And you know what? When it's too easy to be true, that's where we started alluding to the coach episode last week when Dauber left his playbook there at the restaurant or something overnight, and it ends up on the news. But, again, that's absolutely next level. And, Diesel, I'm always good. I laugh at myself a lot. You laugh at me even more. But there's a few more when we come back that we'll get into. But we got to get deeper into Texas A&M. The Aggies are 4-2. They've got two losses to top five teams, the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, the number four ranked Clemson Tigers, and they have a win over the, at the time, the 17th ranked and undefeated Kentucky Wildcats. They're headed to Columbia for a 3:30 matchup on Saturday that you can see in on the SEC Network. So when we come back, we'll talk with our buddy Sam Kahn from ESPN.com covers Texas A&M and the state of Texas. Again, it's our Dixie Vodka Deep Dive. That's award-winning Dixie Vodka.
We're getting better. We're learning how to compete, and we learn how to play with some pressure.
Tradition. Pride.
This is a measuring stick to see where we got to go from here and if we're heading in the right direction.
4-2, coming off a hard-fought game with a ranked Kentucky. Saturday, the Aggies go for their third win in as many weeks, and the Gamecocks go for their first win ever in the series. This is the Deep Dive from Dixie Vodka on Texas A&M.
Getting to talk to some good friend of ours. Today it's Sam Kahn, covers Texas A&M for ESPN.com, lives out there in the Lone Star State. Let's talk about Texas A&M. The Aggies are 4-2. The only losses are to Clemson and Alabama. No shame in that, but the other teams that they played on the schedule, not really blown them out, but they won, which includes a really impressive win over Kentucky last week. Where's this team's head as they come into South Carolina for the second half of the season?
I think they're growing in confidence. You know, that the loss to Clemson in week two really gave them a sense that they could play with anybody in the country because they took them down to the wire. I mean, Clemson's a perennial playoff team, so that gave them a lot of spunk going forward. I mean, Alabama, obviously, nobody's going to beat them, it appears, so that there's no shame in that. But I think the game against Kentucky was important for them because Kentucky was undefeated, they were ranked. And that's the type of team that A&M has not beaten at home in many years. They had lost 6-7 in a row to AP top 25 teams. So they needed a win like that just for confidence sake to show that they could, you know, they could, hey, they could beat a good team and beat a McHale Field, which is a great home field, but hasn't necessarily been intimidating enough to result in wins for A&M against quality teams. So Jimbo Fisher wants this team to be getting better as the season goes on and finishing strong, as opposed to the last few years. You know, A&M has been known to have some very pretty rough Novembers.
As we continue with ESPN.com, Sam Khan Jr., follow him on Twitter, S Khan, that's K-H-A-N-J-R for Jr. And one of the teams so far that's bounced back from the opening week is the Texas Longhorns. Does that put any extra pressure on Texas A&M to produce?
I think it does, especially on the recruiting trail, because Jimbo Fisher has recruited at a top five level nationally. ESPN has his class ranked number one in the country right now for 2019. But he's certainly benefited from that new coach burst, that boost that you get when you're a first-year coach on the recruiting trail. With Texas having beaten Oklahoma, if they're able to get a 10-win season and get to the Big 12 title game, maybe even get to the playoff, that puts it into a really knockdown, drag-out, head-to-head battle between Tom Herman and Jimbo Fisher on the recruiting trail. Because right now, A&M kind of has control. Herman really had control of the state last year in his first year as Texas coach on the recruiting trail. Right now, Jimbo has it, but that gap kind of closes back if Texas is able to be strong, and it makes it more of a nip and tuck fight for recruits in that way.
As we continue with Sam Khan, and of course the Texas A&M Aggies coming over for a 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. So everybody here in the Upstate, whether you're a Tiger or Gamecock fan, remembers the quarterback play of Kellen Mond in that Clemson Texas A&M game. But what are some other players on the offense that South Carolina needs to pay attention to?
Well, Travion Williams got the game-winning touchdown run versus Kentucky. He is their go-to back, and Fisher loves to run the football. He had 30 touches on Saturday against Kentucky, 24 on the ground, 6 in the air. Spread out, you know, their leading receiver, Jamon Osborne, is hurt. He's got a broken bone in his foot, so he's out for a few weeks. And so they're going to spread it around different receivers. But the guy in the passing game really to watch is Jay Sternberger, the tight end. Fisher loves to use tight end. It's a staple of his offense. They almost never run a formation without one. And Sternberger has been their leading receiver amongst those guys this season. He's a key guy for Mond on third downs in the red zone. Mond has no problem throwing it up. The kid's good enough to go and beat guys. He can go up and catch the ball up high. So, I mean, he's definitely a big weapon for Fisher, something that A&M really hasn't used very much in recent years. They haven't used a tight end in previous years, but definitely are doing a lot under Fisher. And on defense, Donovan Wilson, the safety, who's a senior, he's been around. He's a big-time playmaker for them. Tyrell Dotson has been a linebacker. Dotson is an all-SEC caliber linebacker, in my opinion, is definitely the leader of that defense. And they've got a very deep defensive line. Not a lot of big-time stars. No Myles Garrett amongst the group like we saw a couple years ago, but definitely a lot of depth and a lot of quality guys on that D-line.
With a win, Texas A&M can all but derail South Carolina's season and avoid falling too far behind in the SEC.
Give me an idea of what Jimbo Fisher's message to the team is this week. Obviously, you want to win every conference game, but how does he get the team to stay focused against a second cross-divisional opponent in just 2 weeks?
I think it's just them focusing on getting better. That's been his thing, is they want to play to their standard. That's been Fisher's big MO since he's been here. Don't worry about – they're very Saban-esque, Alabama-esque in their approach. And no secret, because Fisher works for Saban, and that word process that you hear Saban use a lot, you hear Fisher use it a lot too, and about focusing on the individual plays and focusing on the next play and not worrying about what the scoreboard says and things like that. So I think for them, every conference game is important because they still have goals they want to achieve, and this is a team that wants to play for something toward the end of the season. And I think against South Carolina, they're a quality team. It's a road game in the SEC environment. You know what it's going to be like when you get to Williams-Brice. That's all the motivation they really need, and I think Fisher's going to just hone in on them just playing better than they were last week. Having only scored 20 points against Kentucky, having to go to overtime to beat them, there's definitely a lot to clean up from that tape that they're going to want to correct going into this week.
One of the key phrases around here with Dabo Swinney and his staff, Sam, is all in. And at this point, we know how much money's out there at Texas and Texas A&M. We all saw the figures earlier this year, but it doesn't matter if everybody's not on board. And is this finally a time that Texas A&M fans and administration and coaches are all on board? Because that could be dangerous for the rest of college football.
No doubt. And that's one thing I think you saw toward the end of the Kevin Sumlin era, that it was a little bit splintered. There were some fans and boosters who backed Sumlin. I think there were some who didn't think he was going to be the guy to get him there. And obviously you saw how that played out. It ended up in him getting out there at the end of last season. They are all on board with Fisher. I mean, you don't spend $75 million on a coach unless you're sure this is your guy. And that the fact that he has won a national championship before was a big selling point for them. The proof is in the pudding. He's been able to get that ring. And in their mind, he's going to be the guy that can get them there. So from an administration standpoint, from the chancellor, from the president, from the AD, the fan base, the 12-man foundation, everybody, they're giving Fisher everything he needs from resources, finances, you name it. And everything that they already had was plenty good. They have a great stadium. They have great location and recruiting base. They've got tremendous fan support. So there's no doubt. They're all on the same page, and there's definitely a honeymoon period of sorts for him. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt a lot here in the first few years of his tenure. But in this 3-4 years, they're going to want to start seeing, hey, how close are we to winning that title? Because that's ultimately what they brought him there to do.
So marinate your steaks, fire up your brats, pitch your tailgate tents, and ice down your Dixie vodka. You may need it, because maybe, just maybe, this week could be your week to go down.
And there's the deep dive brought to you by Dixie Vodka. And again, the South's best vodka. And since we were with you last week, guess what? They have added another vodka to their line. They had 4, now they have 5 with the arrival of their new honey vodka. They have a regular vodka, a citrus vodka, a mint, a pepper that my wife absolutely loves. Said there's no other way in which to fix a Bloody Mary. So, again, DixieVodka.com has got all the recipes and everything that you could want. So what are we doing with a, you know, this weekend? The weather's in the 70s a little bit. It might be a little bit cooler when you get to your tailgate spot. I think a high of about 71. So what about having a little bit of a – how about a Chili Mary? You know, this is how you make a Chili Mary. Now, number one, I realize I'm not even going to try to recreate Dakota or anybody here at Smoke on the Water's voice. Understand this will be the 1 week we don't have somebody on with us. Why? It is a mad scramble around this restaurant as they get prepared for Fall for Greenville on Friday. But the girls decided for a 3:30 kickoff in which you may wake up in the morning a little bit chilly. Then what about a Chili Mary? That's 2 ounces of Dixie Black Pepper Vodka, 6 ounces of Bloody Mary mix with some chili oil and the juice of lemon in there, and pour over ice and garnish with celery. And that's how you make a Chili Mary with Dixie Vodka. Again, the South's best vodka, award-winning. I mean, go and check it out online. They won the 2016 and 17 Consumer Choice Sip Awards, the 2016-2017 Platinum Sip Awards, the 90 points in the Gold Medal Exceptional Best Buy Award in the 2018 Tastings, and the 2018 Gold Craft Award, all by Dixie Vodka, made right down the road in Charleston. As they like to say, it's vodka with a southern drawl. So here's the deal. We'll come back. We'll reopen up the phone lines for the rest of the day. As you can get in with us, give us your opinion. Now, at the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we will get a check-in with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Dabo having his weekly press conference today. And, of course, the Tigers off this week before they host the 20th-ranked NC State Wolfpack next weekend for homecoming. But a few more of the best stunts or practical jokes in college athletics, because there's a few more left. All right, welcome back in. We're live here at Smoke on the Water. And, you know, before brought you the Dixie Vodka Deep Dive segment with our buddy Sam Kahn, And again, you know, Texas A&M, they've handled their business minus loss to top four teams. We were talking about some practical jokes based off of the extent that Nick Rolovich, the current University of Hawaii head coach, went to protect the fact that his starting quarterback was not going to be available this past Saturday. I mean, they literally had another guy roll out in the starting quarterback's uniform and go through warmups in his number 13 jersey. Problem was that quarterback, he wasn't playing. Of course, doesn't come out on the field. Nobody does in the number 13 jersey. And Hawaii goes on to win a 17-14 game with a true freshman quarterback. So that's a pretty good juke move, if you will, by Hawaii. So that brought me into thinking, what are some of the other best practical jokes? And one that you'll always hear in sport took place right here on a big Thursday in South Carolina. And that was the Sigma Nu fraternity from the University of South Carolina dressing up as the Clemson football team and going through warm-ups. And nearly inciting a riot down there in Columbia on a big Thursday. And we talked about Caltech not once but twice pulling off jokes at the Rose Bowl, in which for a school that doesn't even have a football team. Now, kind of copying that one time, Diesel, Yale students in that big game we talked to about MIT taking advantage of both of them and putting the having the balloon come out of the field in the middle of the game. But one year for the Harvard-Yale game, Yale students got dressed up and posed as the fictitious Harvard Pep Squad members and handed out signs to the Harvard fans as they entered into the annual rivalry game. When held up in unison, the signs were to read, "Go Harvard." Or so they claim. They actually said Harvard sucks. The Harvard fans were holding up signs admitting that they suck. Now, let's get into a couple of more that are really, really unique. Check this one out, Diesel. This is gets into the little bit of legend, if you will. But when the University of Virginia found out about it, they did a real quick one-over on the area, which allows me to believe there's a lot more truth to this than there is legend. But an architect who graduated from Virginia Tech claimed he had added a T-shaped building to a V-shaped area at Virginia Scott Stadium. The VT was to be a secret homage to his Hokies. Now, Virginia officials claim that they never noticed this was the case, but if you go look at a picture over the since-renovated area, you could probably understand that at one time, looking down from a balloon, or it did say VT right there on the University of Virginia campus. That's pretty cool. All right, another one. All right, if you can pull a practical joke that from the 1890s that still lives today, then guess what? I think you did a pretty good job of pulling the practical joke. But just say this train don't stop here no more. But the night before, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets were set to arrive for a football game down in Auburn, you know, about 95 miles away. Remember, 1896. The Auburn students got out there the night before Georgia Tech was supposed to come rolling into town, and they greased the tracks of the train tracks, literally. Auburn students greased the train tracks leading in and out of the local station. When the Georgia Tech train came into town, it skidded through town and did not stop for another 5 miles. The Georgia Tech football team had to make the trek back to town and then went on to lose 45-0. And then finally, one more before we keep going. All right, do you remember what happened back in the day between Cal and Stanford, Diesel? We're talking, it was John Elway's senior year between Cal and Stanford. Do you remember that play?
This is the band on the field play, right?
That is absolutely it. The band comes running out on the field for the Stanford Cardinal. And, of course, Cal flips the ball back and forth amongst about eight players before a guy runs it in for into the end zone, and they ended up upholding the touchdown, and Cal went on to the win. Well, Stanford fans, if you can believe, they were understandably furious because the Cal guy is down at one point. They forward, they do a forward lateral at another point. So it was a play in which should have never happened, but it did, and it even ended more famously by the Cal player holding the ball above his hands and then running into the saxophone player from Stanford. Well, to get revenge, the Stanford newspaper editors created a fake edition of the Cal student newspaper called the Daily Cal. And the fake edition claimed that the result of the game was overturned. And they went out and distributed this all over Berkeley and then sat back and watched some of the readers as they bought into the hoax. That's pretty good. If you're going to be original, you might as well be original. And then, of course, there is no bigger practical joke or tradition when it comes to it than Army-Navy and the stealing of their live mascots. I mean, it dates back over 100 years. There has been cannons dumped into rivers, uniform thefts, email blasts, painted messages, flybys, stale cheese, flower dumps, and helicopters dropping ping pong balls on cadets in formation. But one of the oldest and the most simple is still the best. Army first stole Navy's goat mascot Bill in 1953. Since then, the goat has been taken on a number of occasions. It's been found tied to a post near the Pentagon or appearing in a New York Times ad reading, "Hey, Navy, do you know where your kid is today?" Navy even got even in 1991 and stole Army's mule for the first time. So, again, I love creativity. I love the practical jokes. And, if you can't laugh at yourself, you shouldn't be allowed to laugh at anybody else. Well, we are laughing at some college football teams at this point of the season. When we come back, let's take a look at the winners and the losers. We'll start with the losers at the halfway point of the 2018 football season. Top of the 6 p.m. hour, we'll check in with our buddy Gary McDaniel from Clemson Sports News. He was down covering Dabo's press conference for us today. So, Diesel, I'm going to go out on a prediction. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I am sitting here. I cannot hear what's being said on the Weather Channel across the way. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Weather Channel after some of the how would you describe it? The unethical reporting that we did. You know, we saw Mike Sado.
Well, to keep it local, let's call it spurious.
Okay. But listen, we best be paying attention. This Hurricane Michael, since I have been on the air, is now up to a Category 3 hurricane, 120-mile-an-hour winds, and it's moving fast, and it's coming right up through the state of South Carolina. It looks like there's no other way about it. Now, I'm gonna make a prediction. We're going to see more limbs and rain and stuff down out of this Hurricane Michael than we did out of them milking that Hurricane Florence for the better part of a week and a half. And, again, you can't help out how fast a hurricane moves. I mean, Florence came in and almost stalled. But as you promoted it for a week ahead of time, people are tired of hearing about it, which almost makes them kind of lower their sense of urgency. Yeah, this is going to be moving quickly. I mean, we're seeing, I saw in the five-day forecast, thunderbolts for tomorrow. And thunderbolts for Thursday, and they're talking about Thursday in the neighborhood of 2 to 4 inches of rain. So just pay attention. If you got drains out there, it might be a good time this afternoon. Get out there and check on them because we are going to see some rain here this weekend or this week. Excuse me.
Don't be stupid. Don't park under a tree. No. Limbs can come down on your car.
Well, the only thing is on our property, it's virtually impossible to do that. That's why you make sure.
Yeah, well, you're the guy who used to have a carport and you just filled it in. Duh.
Yeah, that carport forever because, you know, you got to open up the gates. And when you open up the gates, the dogs like to run free. You know what I mean?
So you're the one who let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh. All right. getting back to, we talked so long leading into that opening weekend of the season, Diesel, about one team in particular that if they could deliver an upset or hang tough in that first game and go on to a great season, you may see schools lining up to hire their head coach away. Do you remember who we were talking about at that point?
I don't.
Lane Kiffin and the Florida Atlantic
Owls. Oh, that's right.
You remember they opened up at Oklahoma and were like, wow, you know, 10 wins last year for Lane Kiffin. If they could somehow pull the upset on the road, and we didn't know how Oklahoma was going to respond with Baker Mayfield now playing in the NFL. But the Florida Atlantic Owls, through six games, they have to be a loser this season. Now, two of the games that they've lost aren't, how do you put it, aren't bad losses or losses to good football teams. They got crushed by both Oklahoma, and they got crushed a couple of weeks later by Central Florida. Now, I don't think any of us have any other we don't have issues with Florida Atlantic going on the road and getting crushed at Oklahoma, but I thought if they were as good as people thought they might be, they give Central Florida a much better game, and they didn't. So it's not a complete shock that they lose those two games, but then they also go on to lose after having an 18-point lead at Middle Tennessee. So, at the halfway point of the season, Florida Atlantic is 3-3, has not won a game on the road. Now, they can still contend for their conference title in Conference USA, but we had talked about them possibly being some type of contender for that Group of Five bid. It's gone. It's gone. Florida Atlantic at 3-3. When we talked about Lane Kiffin and how hot they were, they're one of the losers of the first half of the season. Agree or disagree, Diesel? You buying what I'm selling?
Absolutely. I mean, I think they're a victim of Lane Kiffin mania.
They're a victim of their own success.
They're a victim of Lane Kiffin mania, where everybody's now going to give them their best shot. They're not going to be able to sneak up on anyone. I think we're actually seeing who Florida Atlantic really is. He came out and had a phenomenal season last year. All the credit in the world due to Lane Kiffin for that, but he's still playing with Florida Atlantic level athletes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, and that won't change. I mean, I hate to say that. They may get a player here or there, but, it really won't change. All right, Diesel. See if you buy or sell on my next school that is a loser at the halfway poll. And sort of apropos when you mentioned the halfway poll, that you talk about the Louisville Cardinals. Because what a mess Louisville has become. They're 0-3 in the ACC. They're 2-4 on the year. Now, we realize that, you know what? I've always said Lamar Jackson should have never won the Heisman Trophy. Maybe he should have won three in a row for what he accomplished on the field there, because they have looked completely incompetent at times, has Louisville. The quarterbacks have only combined for 7 yards, 6.7 yards per passing attempt, 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. So you never want that ratio low on the left side. More interceptions than touchdowns. The running game hadn't gotten anything going. In 2016, 2017, the Cardinals ranked 3rd and 4th nationally in yards per play. This season, they are 104th. That's probably one of the reasons they're 0-3 in the ACC. They're 2-4 on the year, and Louisville's only victories came against an FCS school in Indiana State and a Western Kentucky program that has fallen on hard times at this point. And they had to make comebacks in both of those games. So, are you buying or selling Louisville, one of the losers, one of the disappointments at the halfway poll of the 2018 season?
Oh, I'll buy that all day. Louisville should not have fallen as far as they have, especially Louisville was the darling of college football a few years ago.
And does that make you now? I mean, because I keep going, I have maintained for years. If they would switch up the Heisman Trophy and incorporate now the college football playoffs, which I think you have to, you know what I mean? You really can't say somebody's the best player in college football without judging did they lead their team to the promised land. Every once in a while it may not be the case, but I kept saying Deshaun Watson should have won that Heisman, and I'll maintain it. But now that I see how bad Louisville is once he disappears, maybe he should have won two or three Heismans in a row, because it really looked like it was his football team at this point. And no doubt about it. So, all right, one final one before we get out of here. We'll just combine them. UCLA and Nebraska. First-year head coaches Scott Frost, first-year head coach, of course, Chip Kelly at UCLA. 0 wins between the two of them. An 0-5 start for UCLA, an 0-5 start for Nebraska. Obviously, Nebraska is headed to at least 8 or 9 losses, which would tie the most in program history. UCLA, it just doesn't look right. The fact that the Bruins and the Cornhuskers are winless at this point of the season, there's no doubt they are losers at the halfway poll. You buying or selling, D's?
Both of those teams have certainly been disappointments this far in the season.
Absolutely, they have. So, again, let's give you real quickly. Oh, God, I got stuff all over the place here right now. One last time, let's give you the key word for the 6 p.m. hour, if I can find it. But, again, we'll give you one for the 6 p.m. hour. The 5 p.m. hour is running out here. But we'll come back to Smoke on the Water. And, of course, we're going to be joined by Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. He was down covering Dabo Swinney's press conference. We'll talk to him about both football and basketball. It's Coach Brad Brunell's media day is up at Lake Kiawee tomorrow. The Tigers basketball team been ranked anywhere from number 14 to number 18 in the country as they head into their season opener next month. Come back with the final hour live at Smoke on the Water here in downtown Greenville.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.